God gives us a very full plate, remembering the birth of His Son. And we could look at the blessings He gives us. I'm going to speak from the scripture that the young folks read. We could look at those as gifts around a tree. We could look at them as gifts on our plate, you know, that we that feeds our soul. But most of all, we could look at them as Jesus at the table with us, in the pew with us, okay, His presence going with us wherever we go. And so some of the things that were mentioned about the Lord in the Bible. He is wonderful counselor, wonderful counselor. Tell Him all your troubles and sorrows and sins. He's not going to be shocked by them. He's not going to walk away, throw up His arms and say, I can't believe you did that. Okay, God's Word says that He sees us, loves us, listens to our problems, our needs, comes to give us help and strength. And so He's there to help you and love you. He's called Everlasting Father. That was a wonderful thing that even in the Old Testament, God was known as Father. That we could say a few times, you know, in the Old Testament, oh, He's close to us like a good, good Father. He's faithful. He's true. He's unconditional love. It's for you, not against you. So someone in your corner like that, that's the good Lord. He's called Mighty God. Take all the strength in the world. I'm a true blue member, believe it or not, of Planet Fitness. There I am. It is pitiful, I'm telling you. But you if the whole earth joined Planet Fitness, you know, it would still be a wet noodle strength compared to God's strength for changing a life. Okay? And so it doesn't matter, wealth, weapons, knowledge, can't compare to Mighty God. He's great. Prince of Peace. He can say to the storm, be still. And it's still. To the fog, come in, and it comes in. The storm in our soul. He would address that. And if He's the Prince of Peace, He came to bring peace with God. You could be at peace with God. God says, you know, that's what He came to do. Peace with God, peace with others, as much as it depends on you. Even if, you know, there's reconciliation not perfect yet, but still say, oh, you know, I'm going to love that person. Peace with God, and then peace with yourself. Jesus said He would be the one to do that the most. So you test Him out on that. And then some other things about the Lord. Good news of great joy. Joy, a wonderful gift. I really like watching people who have joy. And it doesn't bother me, or doesn't matter to me if it's Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, somebody's birthday, you know, just being together, joy from God, whether in music or in silence. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift. So there's joy on your plate. And then He'd come as the one and only from the Father, full of grace and truth. If somebody came from another country, wasn't familiar with, you know, all the lights and trees and the Bibles in the pews and things, and they would say, what is this? What is this, all this commotion about? You know, and maybe they were from a country who they followed just one leader, and so they said, take me to your leader. Take me to your leader. All you have to do is open the Bible and say, read this right here. This is my leader right here. From Genesis to the Gospels, here comes the Lord. He's my leader. And He loves us. You know, He's a King who loves the people. And He walks among them. He's close with them. He comes to rescue them from which they can't rescue themselves. So that's who Jesus is. What did He come to do, you know? Say, He's a great teacher. That's true. But what else? What did He come to do? He said He claimed that He would rescue sinners or conquer sin, death, and hell. Pretty big, pretty good statement, you know, that somebody's going to do that. None of us would say that about ourselves. And offer us the gift of life forever conquering death. Talk about death for just a moment on Christmas Eve, because it still impacts people, missing loved ones who used to celebrate with you. Now you say they're safe with God, okay, through faith in Christ. And even the old Righteous Brothers back in 1974, they sang a song, "If you believe in forever, then life is just like one night." That's it. It's important. It's really important. But if you believe in forever, you better deal with what happens to you after 90 or 100 years that we have together. And we do have a dear lady who's about, what, 99? 99! And she has more energy than me. There she, thank you for being here. But that he would come and say, "Well, I'm here to deliver you from death." I get to see a lot of people in hospitals. You know, there's about 20 good hospitals within 50 miles of here. And wonderful doctors and wonderful nurses. And they all work together. But, and they probably have 1,000 years of knowledge put together. How to do this, how to do that, you know. It's fantastic. But you know what? On their agenda is not, "We are here to conquer death." They can't do it. All the great minds in the world. You know, they just, someone is going to have to conquer death for us. And who might that be? Jesus said, you know, "I'm the resurrection and the life. If anybody believes in me, though he dies, he will live." And nobody ever said that about themselves. Muhammad didn't say that about himself. Buddha didn't say that about himself. Moses didn't say that about himself. Jesus said, "I'm the resurrection and the life." And he would come to conquer death for us. He came to conquer sin for us. You know, sin is something you can't get rid of on your own. And Jesus said, "I have the authority to forgive sin and to help change a life." If you took different versions of the Bible and heard about our helplessness, how we can't get rid of sin on our own, you'd hear these paraphrases, these translations. New International Version, "We are powerless. God came to us when we're powerless. We're without strength." That's the King James. The Message Bible, "We were weak and rebellious." Living Bible, "We're utterly helpless and no way to escape." And Amplified Bible, "We're powerless to help ourselves." Somebody told me the other day, God will help you so you could help yourself. And I tried to gently say, you know, if I could help myself, I wouldn't need him. You see? He came because we couldn't help ourselves. And he'd help us lean on him and have life and life to the good. He came, and on the cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He'd give you that forgiveness of sins. And he'd be, God's word says in the Old Testament, he'd be numbered with the transgressors. He'd be numbered with the sinners. If we got the biggest sinners in Westmoreland County and put them in the room, guess who would go and be with them? Jesus. And you might think, well, we don't need to go to another room. We have them right here. Right? I mean, we would qualify as many sins as anybody else. See? And Jesus said, "I will be with them. And I will stand for them. I will give my life for them. I will offer my love to them." So it's quite a thing that Jesus would come to conquer sin and death. And being away from God. And the last, of course, he would conquer and offer us the gift of life. I'm going to quote from a good minister, if you have a chance to hear him, Michael Youssef. He's 71. He's been around, you know, the block, like Billy Graham used to give good words. So this guy, I think he's preached in about 70 different countries. He's given good news in 70 different countries. And he's seen a lot of people. He says he's never met a person who turned to Christ and said, "I should have never done that. That was just the worst decision I ever made. You know, it just gave me a bunch of headaches and I'm dumb and dumber for doing that." No. On the contrary, he ran into a lot of people who says, "Well, I still feel empty without God. I still feel empty. But with Christ, oh, so glad." And most people say, like even myself, I would say, "I wish I'd have turned to him long before I did." And so you could turn to him tonight. and say, well, I came to celebrate his birthday with my family, and that's fantastic, but I really came to trust Christ and follow him. In closing, put your good name in the maybe one of the most famous verses in the Bible. For God so loved the world. It's like a Christmas verse. For God so loved the world, all the people, you. For God so loved you, put your name in there, that he gave his one and only son, that if you would trust him, believe in him, you would not perish, stuck in sin and death, but you would have life forever with God. What a gift that he would give to each one of us. And so put your trust in him. He loves you. He's a fantastic king, savior. My family, bit of a Jewish background, Regina, and therefore my two sons. So they get all excited about the heritage of, you know, from Genesis on. I kind of pick up the ball in Matthew for the New Testament, but that's okay. But let's pray, and as we take the candle light to say, thank you, Lord, for this being the light of the world, I trust you. Help me to bless somebody else with the light you give me in my soul. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for each person here. Well, if somebody not quite sure who you are, God, just help them say, God, tell me who you are. You'll be so glad. You'll knock on the door of the heart, and they'll open the door, put their trust in you, and you'll be their friend forever. So bless each person here. As we go through the candlelight service, help us to remember, dear God, you said, let there be light. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world, speaking of himself. Be close to us as we worship together. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll ask the candlelighters to come forward, please, at this time.